Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
The other night, when I was flying back from Seattle, I read this great book. It's called Stressed to Blessed. And it's by an author who is a professor of worship at Cedarville University in Ohio. But she talks about trauma and how God brought her through so many traumatic experiences in her life. And I wanted you to hear her story, but most of all, to get some ideas, because maybe you're stuck and you can't move forward in your life because of some things that have happened to you in the past. So I've asked her to come and be my guest today on Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. Please stay tuned, won't you? Susan Troth, Associate Professor of Worship at Cedarville University in Cedarville, Ohio. Susan, welcome.
Wow, Judy, it's so great to talk with you and to be with your St. Louis and regional listeners today. This is awesome.
I want to hear your story, and your byline to your book is Faith-Based Journey to Find Healing, Hope, and New Horizons in the Midst of the Challenge We Face Every Day in Life. Yes. So, Susan, tell us your story.
Well, it goes back to my first trauma that I journeyed through for about 10 years. Was a barrenness and infertility. And for me, it was such a surprise. No one in my family had struggled with that. And just before I married my late husband, I was given a diagnosis of endometriosis, and we didn't worry about it too much. And then it began to be a very difficult process and gut-wrenching as I in a few years had to move into medical treatments with a specialist in Orlando, Florida. And, you know, we were a typical couple. We were in ministry, and we had names for kids and decided how many kids we were praying for, and, you know, started actually a little hook chest for little baby things we found, and then started having to go through this process of all these medical tests and surgeries and being told in your 30s, where you need to take you through menopause right now. And he was a senior pastor, and he'd asked me to be his minister of music at that time. So here we are busy with ministry things and also trying to be transparent with the congregation. And it was a lot of stress. The book is Stressed to Blessed because there are many factors in our lives that stress us out. But during those 10 years, one of the lessons that was so valuable to me was, you know, that whether or not the tests work is what happens every month in your body. And what are the results of the test? And I learned to start saying to God, before I ever knew any results, God, I love you. No matter what happens, no matter what the results are, I want you to know that I love you. And that was a great discipline to have and a real sweet time of relationship, that God's not this genie in a bottle, or I'm not just loving you because things are going great in my life. I love you because you are my God and my shepherd. And we had determined ethically at that time where we were, how far we would go in treatments. And when the doctor after 10 years said, we're at that place, we walked away incredibly high in debt, because none of the procedures at that time were covered by insurance, incredibly emotionally wrung out and stressed out, and yet we were still
in ministry.
Yeah, and didn't really take time to really grieve. Just kept working. And the grief of infertility really came out in this last chapter of grief that I was going through. So, you know, also my book talks about not just infertility, but ministry is stress.
Ministry is stress. And you did music and your husband was the pastor there. And then you went to the point where he got a disease and you never knew how long that was going to last. So right. You had that stress. Tell us a little bit about that.
So he had open heart surgery. I'm trying to think of how old he was. I think he was 45. And at that time, they even said to me, wow, there's so much plaque and blockage that it's hard for even us to find a good vein to put in his heart. And so that was young. And his dad had the same disease. His dad had passed away at 60. So 60 was kind of the magical number for us. But at 54, he was walking the dog, and I was driving home from work. I had stopped at Kroger to buy him a birthday card because he was just about a week out. And I'm like, oh, it's the beginning of school. I'm going to forget. And God took him home that night while he was walking the dog. He just had an instantaneous heart attack, and that was a blessing for me that he did not suffer, because his dad had gone through a period of suffering, kind of as he was losing different parts of his kidneys, and he lost a leg and things like that. And so, all of a sudden at 54, I'm in Ohio by myself, no children, no family around me, no husband. Overnight, I'm not the pastor's wife, and so a lot of identity hits that I had to deal with as I was dealing with the grief of being a young widow. I'd go to widow meetings, or I'd hang out on Friday nights with local widows who were 79, you know. It's hard also when you're a younger widow to find community to be with, because a lot of our widows' ministries are geared toward older women, mm-hmm. of course.
So how did you find younger people to be with that were widows like you?
I didn't find very many. And honestly, there was an online group that I was meeting with, and that's where I found some younger widows around me, like in my neighborhood on a Friday night. I would call up the 79-year-olds and say, hey, let's go out to eat. And I would drive, and, you know, we'd have something to look forward to. And they were great to hang out with me, and I really cherished having widows to hang out with, especially on the weekends. They can be tough.
And I bet you learned a lot of wisdom from them on how to deal with widows.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So after your husband died, you had to get everything out of his office and figure out what you were going to do with your life. How was that?
Yes. Well, it's one of the things that I would say as people, when you go through a large trauma, a big trauma, no matter what it is, try not to make really big decisions immediately. And someone told me that. So I knew that I wasn't going to move out of the house or make like any big career changes until I got to the 1 year point. But in the meantime, I knew that they gave me a couple of months to get everything out of the office. So I began that process, and that process of all of his things. He loved woodworking, and he had all the books, and he had a lot of sports things that I knew people that it would mean a lot to. So in that year, I was able to take my time and in getting things to people that I knew it would bless. And so that was in a sense, that's a good part of waiting a year, because you have so many other things you have to process, and you can pray through and look at different options. And I really wanted to move to Nashville where my sister is. But at the 11-month point, I was back up here at Cedarville getting ready for the new school year, because Ronnie had graduated to heaven. That's what I like to call it. The day school was starting, the night before school started. So I was back up here getting ready for school, and I really was a little depressed and sitting in my car in a neighborhood, and I just felt the whisper of God. I heard the whisper of God say, I didn't just bring you to Cedarville for then. I brought you for now. And all of a sudden, in the clarity, I remembered, yeah, it really was quite a story of him bringing me to Cedarville. And I was like, okay, God, if you had a bigger purpose, then yes, I'm staying wherever you want me. If you want me to stay, I'll stay. I'm by myself up here, but I will be where you want me to be. And so that's what I did. And he has blessed that. It was surprising, but God does a lot of surprising things. He really does. Surprising things with surprising people in surprising places.
So what do you say to people who might suddenly become a widow or a widower and they feel alone like you did, and they may not have family in their location where they are, and they might have 10 million decisions to make? What would you say to them right now? Maybe some of them are listening.
Well, find a spiritual umbrella. I was very blessed that my late husband, even before his diagnosis, he'd asked a deacon in our church in Houston, if anything ever happens to me, you be a guide, Susan. And it wasn't like I called Todd every day, but like big purchases, a house, a car, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? I had an advisor. And sometimes that advisor can be in your family, but sometimes it's great that it's a neutral person, you know, that is an elder or a deacon in your church or someone in your Sunday school. But if our husbands are listening and they not only do all the insurance and everything, but they say, hey, would you help if something happens and God takes me home? That's a great gift. So find that person, because you have so many decisions to make.
Yeah.
But for really, really big things, it's great to have someone that you can trust and can speak into that situation. And if your church doesn't have a special widows group or something, you can find online communities. You can. There was actually a Dayton area widows group that met. And so I'd drive about 45 minutes so I could go be with them once a month.
Awesome. Susan Troth is my guest. She is Associate Professor of Worship at Cedarville University in Cedarville, Ohio. She wrote this book, Stressed to Blessed. And we're going to be back with Susan, because that is not the end of her story. And maybe the rest of her story will give you hope as you go through your journey of going through trauma in your life. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Hey, I'm Judy Redlich. Thanks for sticking with me on Encounter. My guest is Susan Troth. She wrote the book, Stressed to Blessed, a faith-based journey to find healing, hope, and new horizons. We've been hearing some of her story and how God has been bringing her through trauma. Maybe you've gone through some similar situations like she's gone through, and maybe some of the tips she's given have helped you. But listen to the rest of it. So Susan stayed at Cedarville and kept teaching at Cedarville University. And what happened, Susan?
Well, I leaned in heavy into healing. And whether it was through books and journaling and studying the Bible, to private Christian counselor, to group coaching. And after about 3.5 years, I was like, wow, he restores my soul. I'm feeling a joy in my core that I didn't even know was really possible again. And I'm feeling very centered. And a lot of the effects of trauma, like the foggy brain, was finally leaving. And I was feeling very healed. And that was fall of 2019. And January of 2020, I was not feeling well, and I went to urgent care, and they said, you have bronchitis. And 5 days later, God smashed the clay again, and I was rushed to the ICU by my nephew's wife, who they had moved into my house temporarily, and I had renal failure and sepsis and double pneumonia. And wow, what a shock. I remember laying in the ICU thinking, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm really surprised by the timing. I have everything ready. I have the estate ready. And okay, if this is your time, okay. And then I got better and actually was out of the hospital later that week, but I was just crushed. I was walking with a cane. I was so weak, and I was very angry, very, very angry with my Heavenly Father, and stayed that way for 3 weeks, isolated, depressed, angry. And then my nephew, who's a pastor, said, Aunt Susan, we need to talk. And I said, yes, I don't want to stay this way. And I finally let go of the anger and let go of my expectations for my life. And that led to a time of as I was walking and trying to get stronger, of grieving even my infertility that I had not really fully grieved. And it's like the last vestiges of grief that had been pushed way down to the bottom of my gut finally came out. And the clay said to the potter, not my will, but your will be done. And then people said, how are you doing? I said, I just feel blessed. So all of a sudden this word came out. And I said, I just feel so blessed by God. I feel spoiled. And then that word spless, this past year, I began to talk about, yeah, I'd like to do something with that word. Maybe put it on some mugs or something. I don't know. But I talked to a coach, a business coach, and she started taking notes and talking with me. And she said, you know, I think you probably have a book you can write. And I've been taking notes, and I think this is actually turning into an acronym, and it's probably no one's more surprised than me at how this word blessed has become an amazing pathway for surrendering to God, which is the S, and surrendering is letting go. It's not giving up. It's letting go. And then the P is permission to grieve. Sometimes that's hard in Christian circles because we feel like, you know, maybe we need to really show like we have everything together. But lamenting is a pattern we can learn from David in the Psalms. And then we have to lean into truth like Joshua and Caleb. People around you may be saying things to you that are leading you down wrong emotional paths, fearful. But you have to lean into God's truth. And then E is that emotions are a gauge, not a guide. It's kind of two sides of a coin. Lean into truth, identify your emotion, understand it. It's telling you that you care deeply, but don't let the emotion be how you make decisions. When God said, stay in Ohio, I was like, yes, sir. Emotionally, that was the last thing I wanted to do. But the truth was, that's what God wanted me to do. And so I stayed. And then S is the still small voice of God.
Yeah, so important.
Listen, he will speak through his scripture. He will speak through sermons. He will whisper truth to you or remind you of his truth. But have time to be still and listen to him. And then the next E is for endurance. And I don't usually like that word, but the cool thing about that word is that God gives us endurance. In Colossians 1, it says that he is strengthening with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. So that is great that endurance comes from God. And that's why in the chapter in my book, Before Surrender, I say you have to start here, actually, and that's where are you in your relationship with our Heavenly Father? Are you walking close? Are you staying with the shepherd as you've gone through your stress and your trauma? Or have you walked away? Have you, like me, gotten angry and turned away? Are you his child? Where are you? I did a lot of different programs, and they're all wonderful. But I really, really believe that this starting point of working out where we are in relationship with our Heavenly Father is so important, because he's the one that restores.
Yeah, that's true.
He restores. And Jesus is our example of setting his face and enduring. And then the Holy Spirit comes alongside and helps us. So we really have to start there. The last chapter is D, and that's discovering hope. And that's our bedrock that never moves. And that's what we build. That's the Holy Bible, obedience to the Holy Bible, prayer and endurance. And that's what I want everyone, no matter your age, that's the bedrock we have to build.
Yeah, the hope for healing and moving forward. What I noticed in your book is you just talked about moving forward. I had to keep moving forward. So important. So, Susan, how can people get a copy of your book? Tell us the name of it again and how people can get it.
Well, thank you. It is on Amazon. It's a Kindle edition and hardback paper, and it's Stressed to Splessed, SPLESSED. And the first half of my story, and then the last eight chapters is this splessed process. And also, this month, at the end of the month, I am publishing, it's being edited right now, a companion guide.
Wow. Great.
And it's great, especially if you want to go by yourself and dig a little bit deeper or get a group together, because for Splessed, I take a person in the Bible and then dig a little bit deeper in study. And there's actually, every week has a QR code, and you get daily digital content to help you with a Bible verse to memorize and meditate on, and a journaling that you can download weekly. So there's now a companion guide that is coming. But if you want help with coaching privately or with a group, I'm going to start my next group in July. You can go to SusanTroth.com and find all sorts of resources. If you would like me to come speak to your group, your women's group, about this process, I would be happy to take this wherever God wants it to go. You know, 2020, COVID itself was a traumatic event.
That's true. So the website again is
SusanTroth.com, SusanTroth.com.
Stressed to Blessed, a faith-based journey to find healing, hope, and new horizons. Are you looking for those answers today? Maybe Susan's book would be one that would really be a gem in your library. I know it was a gem to me when I read it. Susan, I want to thank you for being my guest today on Encounter. And we pray that God will continue to use these to unlock the hearts of people all over, to help them see that moving forward is the only answer when you go through traumatic experiences.
We have hope.
We have hope. Susan Troff has been my guest, Associate Professor of Worship, Cedarville University in Cedarville, Ohio. Again, Susan, your website?
SusanTroth.com.
SusanTroth.com, and she has a study guide that goes with it and also some other resources. And recently, the end of 2024, she was awarded the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award from the president. Isn't that exciting?
It was pretty amazing. It was a surprise, and it was just a wonderful gift, and it was for community service, so it was a really special kind of humble evening.
Susan, in summary, what would you like to tell our listeners?
They can have a bedrock. There's so much depression. There's so much stress. There's so much trauma. And the bedrock that they need to build in their lives that's never going to wash away is hope. It's the Holy Bible, obedience to the Holy Bible, prayer, and endurance. Discover hope, and you will find your new horizons and healing.
Awesome. Yeah. So thank you for joining me. Thank you all for tuning in to Encounter today. I'm Judy Bradley. Hope you'll join me next time for another edition of Encounter. And I hope you'll dig in and check out Susan's book.
Thank you, Judy. It's been a blessing.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlich's website, email her at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.